This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Get a Casper mattress and get a great night's sleep. Try it for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn and use the promo code Glenn. Get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, trends come and go. Things fall in and out of fashion. So today we're going to start by talking about things that are fashionable once again. I mean, you know, sometimes bell bottoms or wide bottom jeans or flare jeans at the bottom, you know, they're not popular and they become popular again. And that's also true, apparently, of politics, because there's a lot of things that have just become fashionable again that just a couple of months ago weren't very fashionable. For example, something that has now become fashionable again, obstructing Supreme Court nominees. Chuck Schumer, minority leader in the Senate, has said that he and the other Democrats in the Senate are actually going to not meet with Neil Gorsuch. They're not even going to meet with him to consider him as a Supreme Court justice. They're not even going to have the common courtesy to say, sit down in my office and let's chat a little bit. They're not going to do that. They are being obstructionists. But see, it was Chuck Schumer and other people just a couple of months ago with Merrick Garland that told us, how dare those Republicans not have hearings on this? So apparently, now obstructing Supreme Court nominees have become fashionable again. Now, at the time, I said, yeah, they should have had hearings. The Republicans absolutely, 100%, as directed by the Constitution, should have had hearings on Merrick Garland. They are directed to, shall consult and then advise the president and then confirm or not. That's your job. They should have done it. I don't care if it was a year or a week out. If the president nominates somebody, you start the process and do it. And if you don't think that person is right, then Mitch McConnell and others, the other Republicans there, they should have had the testicular fortitude to stand up and say, we're not voting for this guy and he's not going to be a Supreme Court justice. But they were playing the game and they didn't want to be on record as saying no to this guy or turning him down. It was easier for them to just kind of keep brushing it off, rolling the dice to see who's going to get elected. And although Trump got elected and although Trump did the right thing by picking Neil Gorsuch, absolutely good pick, Hillary Clinton could be president right now, and then what would the Republicans be doing? They were wrong not to do it. And Chuck Schumer is wrong not to sit down with Neil Gorsuch. Of course he should. But it's funny how these things have become fashionable again. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm happy that Hillary's not president, and I'm happy we don't have Merrick Garland, and I'm happy that it's Donald Trump picking Neil Gorsuch. Absolutely. But the way they handled it was wrong. And if you're not standing up and saying it was wrong, then you're part of the problem. We've got to both simultaneously fight for our values, our individual desires, the way we live our lives, the things we think are right, our moral compass. Absolutely. But we also have to be fighting for the structure that allows us to have a moral compass and be heard and live our lives. And that structure is the Constitution. The structure is America. And people like Chuck Schumer are not helping that. Suddenly, the Constitution has become fashionable again. Have you seen the nutty Hollywood types out there talking about the Constitution? Yes, Michael Moore, Deborah Messing, and others out there protesting with their pussy hats on saying, it's the Constitution and the Electoral College. So you now know the Constitution? Because for the last 8 years, you folks didn't know it existed at all. It was like, for 8 years, they knew about the Constitution, and then it got slid into a drawer when Obama got elected, and they just kind of misplaced it. Where is the Constitution? I kind of remember that. And then they found it the day after the election. What is this yellow, crinkly piece of paper that a bunch of old white guys signed? Wow, they really had something to this whole structure of government and limited government, which, by the way, limited government has now become fashionable with these people. Mm-hmm. And protesting your First Amendment rights has become fashionable once again with people on the left and the Democrats and people like Chuck Schumer and the Hollywood types. They now understand protesting. Yes, because for the last 8 years, when I marched on D.C. with the Tea Party, when I was there for the 9/12 march, when I attended tea parties all across America, when you were out there, they called you teabaggers, a derogatory term with a sexual reference. They looked at you in your knickers and your tri-corner hat and made fun of you and said, just sit down and shut up. You're being obstructionist. Just get in line behind this president. Because if you don't, you're not only an obstructionist, you're also a racist. How dare you? But now, magically, overnight, protesting has become fashionable again, acceptable. Not only for your duty again. So protesting has become fashionable. Jokes about the president, fashionable once again. Jokes about the president, jokes about hurting the president, and suggestions that maybe we murder the president. Yeah, those things have become fashionable again. Well, I say about murdering the president because Sarah Silverman, yeah, you probably don't know her because she doesn't have that successful of a career. I mean, guys, really, be honest. Sarah Silverman, she's not really that successful. About the most successful thing she's done is Jimmy Kimmel. Hey-o! Sarah Silverman, actress, picture me making the air quotes, and comedian, picture me making the air quotes, tweeted out that, in all caps, screaming, losing her mind, that the military needs a coup to take over and, I guess, kill Donald Trump. A military coup. So military coups are now fashionable again. Yeah, all of this stuff. Jokes about murdering the president, all fashionable again. Then you also have things like personal freedoms become fashionable again. Over the past 8 years or so, actually, over the past 16 years or so, when I've said things like, huh, you know, the Patriot Act, NSA spying on Americans, my ability to not be spied on by the IRS, the government staying out of my life, not telling me how to raise my children, not forcing me to make a cake for gay weddings, and just go down the list, all of the things that I say, hey, that's about personal freedom and my choice and I should be able to do this. They said, you racist, why are you such a hater? But now, magically, overnight, it's become fashionable once again to have those personal freedoms. Maybe not in the exact same ways, but personal freedoms are certainly fashionable again. To you snowflakes out there that have been losing your minds, frustrated, outraged at Donald Trump, I mean, just melting down on social media, marching, you have only yourselves to blame. This is your doing. You may not like Donald Trump. You may say he's not your president, which, if you're a legal American citizen, I got news, he's your president. You may not like him. But it's not the Electoral College. It's not the antiquated Electoral College. It's not racism. It's not misdirection, tricked votes. It's none of this stuff. It's you. You are to blame. You are to blame for Donald Trump if you don't like him. Because by standing against me and some of the very things that you are fighting for now when I said them over the last 8 years, you caused this level of backlash. Now, I am certainly culpable in that discontent as well. Others are as well. But you're responsible because you didn't stand with me on common ground on things like the Constitution and personal freedoms. Because apparently you, for the last 8 years, thought like Whoopi Goldberg thinks that if you say constitutionalist, that you mean we go back to the original day one Constitution where black people aren't a full human being, they're chattel. They should be slaves. And that's certainly not the case. But you objected to me saying things like, I should be able to live my life as I see fit and not forced to take part in your crazy ideas, forcing me to go to meetings and to determine if I am somehow a racist, forcing me to take part in certain services and organizations, forcing me to take part in commerce to buy health care. When I said, this is not the responsibility of government and I should have personal freedoms, leave me alone. And you went off on me. This is the result. You planted those seeds, and here it is. So at least have the common decency to recognize that and stop melting down. Stop trying to burn down buildings. Stop breaking things in D.C. Stop setting cars on fire. Stop attacking people in the streets. Because you've also told us for decades that you care more than I do. That's the reason you do these things. You care more. I don't care. I'm just a hater. Were you caring more the other night in Berkeley when you pulled a guy out of the car and beat the hell out of him? Did you care more then? Did you care more in the streets of D.C. on Inauguration Day when you are on K Street throwing rocks at police officers and bricks trying to injure them? Is that caring more? You are responsible for this, and your backlash now, your protests, are laughable. Now, I support, unlike you, your right to protest, as long as it's not violent, as long as you're not breaking other laws. I support it. Go, protest, fine. But it's pretty ridiculous because you're not being consistent. It's no secret I didn't support Donald Trump. I certainly didn't support Hillary Clinton. I didn't support Donald Trump. I vote on track record, his track record questionable and limited. Nothing against him. I like some of his ideas, but I just vote on track record. Since he's been in office, I like most of what he's done. He's done what mainly he said he was going to do, and he has an incredible Supreme Court pick. So I like him. Here's the difference. You stood against Donald Trump and everything on the right, you precious little snowflakes, because you were so upset. I stood against him because of track record. But standing here today, I'm pretty happy. I'm doing well. Pretty good picks. He's doing a lot of what I would hope a president would do. But you're not getting your way. And you could have had it. And all you had to do was recognize the thing that I've been saying and Glenn and so many others for so long. If you respect my rights to make decisions for me and my family, then I'll respect yours. There's a lot of common ground. But it's laughable that you're protesting. It's just silly. You know what else is fashionable now? You know what else is fashionable? Not only wanting a limited government, but wanting to limit presidential powers. We'll get to that coming up. But first, got to tell you about Pro Flowers. You got Valentine's Day coming up. And wouldn't you love an easy, fail-proof way to look like a pro? Guys, admit it. It's such a pain. It's not that I'm not romantic, ladies. I am. I like to do things for my wife. I hate the obligatory things. Oh, it's Valentine's Day. It's this day. It's whatever. I'd rather just, wouldn't it be nice if I did that for her? But unfortunately, women see it different, and this is expected of us. So a fail-proof way is Pro Flowers. This year, Pro Flowers is making it easier than ever by taking all of the guesswork out of it. Here's their offer. On top of their already low prices, right now you can get a dozen red roses with a free glass vase for just $24.99 plus shipping and handling. That's a great deal, by the way. Have you checked the stuff down in the corner when you're driving down the road? And they're like, hey, get a dozen roses for $89. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I spent $100 on that. $25, that's a great deal. Just go to proflowers.com and use the promo code Glenn, G-L-E-N-N. Use the promo code Glenn. Pick up your flowers and then check out in just, or pick your flowers and then just check out in 2 minutes. It's Pro Flowers, and it's very easy. I've used Pro Flowers for years because I originally heard Glenn talk about it. It works great. I think probably 5-6 years I've used them for multiple holidays, both my mom, my wife, other people. By other people, I mean relatives, okay? And one time I had a minor problem where an order was not exact and they took care of it right away. It's a good company and a good deal. Just get the free glass vase. Make sure to use the promo code Glenn, G-L-E-N-N. It's ProFlowers. Go there while supplies last. ProFlowers.com. This is the Glenn Beck.
You're listening.
You're listening.
To the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, I'm Doc Thompson in for Glenn today because apparently yesterday, towards the end of his program when he was in Los Angeles, he suddenly got sick. But I believe that he was sick, but most of the staff around here, like all the camera crew and that, they're all like, yeah, this guy's just punking out for the long weekend. I mean, I'm not going to call them out as individuals, but they all question whether or not Glenn was really sick. And Cal, who spins the dials radio style for us, I know you were calling out Glenn saying, yeah, this guy's punking out.
No, just long weekend. No, I did not.
I think you called him
our
wussy.
Our fearless leader is allowed to have some time. He's a hard worker.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I've always contended. But, I mean, when you called him wussy and
I never
wimp,
said those
I
words.
I was like, wow, that's
I was defending those words.
That's really shocking.
My words said that, you know, he deserves time off. He works hard. He's stressed. He's traveled
Revisionist.
A lot.
Revisionist?
What are you talking about? No.
You're
no.
a historical revisionist. That's what you are. Hey, if you want to join the program, you could tweet at us with the hashtag What I Learned Today, and we'll share some of those on the air, or dial 888-727-BECK, and we'll get some calls coming up on how things that didn't used to be fashionable just a couple of weeks ago, days ago, are now fashionable again. It's 888-727-BECK, but first some tweets. Cal, who do we have checking in on the Twitter today?
Jen Baldwin. Mm-hmm, at Baldwin Jen says, Doc Thompson Show, what I learned today, Cal is an evil genius.
Hold it right there. Glenn told us just the other day we shouldn't say evil anymore unless it's truly evil. So how about a wrong genius? Because he said we should just call out wrong. Not so good genius.
I think it's appropriate here. You can call me an evil genius.
Evil genius.
I'm okay with that because
now I think about it, I don't know if we use the word genius either. That's
I'm quite bright too.
Wrongly
many
normal,
many internet IQ tests slightly. Online tell me that I'm
your online IQ
online
test.
IQ that's test. Your, tell me I'm
click
I'm up
here.
There.
Do any of those tell anybody that they're adult? Seriously, if you log on, I feel like those are like the equivalent of talking to the little soothsayers and the little palm readers you go to at carnivals.
I feel that they're very accurate because you ever they notice, tell me I have a high IQ.
Any of those carnival people, they're never like, wow, you are going to die in a horrible crash within days. They're always like,
I don't think they'll get repeat
customers. Something good's coming up, right.
I'm not really sure what it is, but something golden in your future. Also, Trailer Park Aaron, Doc Thompson Show, what I learned today, insulting Donald Trump is racist towards orange people like Oompa Loompas.
That's a good point. Apparently, racism is now fashionable once again, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know what race he is, but I know orange isn't a normal, it's a lesser known, it's definitely a different
orange
race, right?
Orange lives matter. Orange lives
and
matter.
And orange lives do matter. I'm not criticizing. I'm not saying he shouldn't be president because of his orangeness. Or anything like that. I mean, I only know of two people off the top of my head that are of that race, but they both had prominent positions in our government showing us that we are no longer racist, and that is Donald Trump and also John Boehner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the a guy who was Speaker of the House and President. All of this, I don't know what the race is. I feel uncomfortable saying orange.
There are different like shades of orange. I mean, some Trump sort of, and Boehner, I don't know. You kind of like one's a little more Tropicana, and well, the other one's probably more, you know, Cheeto.
Well, here's what I do know. When it comes, and I'm going to write this down and tweet this out, what I've learned today. When it comes to the presidency, orange is the new black. So, with the...
That's a good one. I see what you did there.
You see what I did there? With the orange and the black. What other tweets do you have?
Brian Knoll, our very own Brian Knoll. Doc Thompson calling out hypocrisy with precision this morning. In for Glenn Beck on the Blaze Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing that. I'm glad somebody's recognizing this. I know Glenn's not because he's...
I like that you like that. And finally, Mark T. says, Doc Thompson, what I learned today, a military coup. Martial law is fashionable again. Have we gone completely insane?
We have. This is why... I mean, folks, we took so much heat. Glenn has taken so much heat. There was a lot of fake news about this stuff. But by trying to be consistent... We have been abused, just beat up with some of this stuff by simply trying to call us. We don't get everything right, of course. We get some things wrong. I didn't think Trump would get elected. I'm happy he did, but I didn't think he would get elected. But we make mistakes, but we still have that same goal of trying to be consistent about this stuff. And yeah, these people now, the whole point of the monologue about things becoming fashionable again is that these people have forgotten yesterday. Just days ago, they said the exact opposite because, once again, they are focusing on their personal desires. And by the way, how many of these people out at the protests
you know, the Women's March, any of these things have been, or Berkeley the other night, how many of them are saying, I am out here because I want to make sure people have more food and have a better life? Okay, they say that, but how many are really out there for that? Of course not. You look at the people. You've got fat, unattractive women saying, women need to be treated better. Well, where do you think the motivations from that come? Huh? Where do you think that's coming from? Maybe from the fat, unattractive woman? Seriously, they feel like a second-class citizen based on those things. Maybe they are at times. Maybe people look at them. Maybe they're being judged by that. You got the people out there saying, I'm being kept down. Well, yeah, why are you? Because you don't have enough. That's why you're saying it. It's personal. They say, the banks have too much, the bankers. Are they saying that they want that redistributed so everybody has the exact amount? No, if you went to them and said, tell you what, I'll give you 500 grand of this banker's money if you shut the hell up. You cool? They're not going to take that? Of course they are. They're not going to stay in the streets like Mother Teresa or something saying, we got to help everybody. It's all selfish. And that goes right into the hypocrisy and lies.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, I'm Doc Thompson in for Glenn today. Thanks so much for joining me. Regularly heard on the Blaze Radio Network. If you would, please follow me on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Doc Thompson Show. But please follow me, though. We have some really funny things coming up next week that you'll be able to follow if you just follow me on Twitter. So it's at Doc Thompson Show. We'll be engaging in some things that are going to make you laugh. We're going to be mocking some people in a grand way. I can't share it now. I asked management yesterday, and they're like, what are you doing talking about this stuff? And I'm like, I got to give them a little bit. Just shut up. You're going to ruin it. And I said, okay, fine. So just follow me on Twitter at Doc Thompson Show. Use the hashtag what I learned today. We'll share some coming up. One of the crew that I have on my show in the morning, part of the crew, we got Cal of Spins and Dials Radio Style, and we got RC_Chris on Twitter. It's Chris Cruz. He is kind of our social media guy, too. You were really following all the stuff that happened at UC Berkeley with Milo, too, and the whole thing. Explain what happened two nights ago.
So what happened, basically, is that Milo Yiannopoulos, I don't know how to say his last name, but it's cool, though, but we're on that friendship term now, that Yiannopoulos.
Do you know why I only say Milo?
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to spell to say his last name either.
So I was getting in contact with people, like, can I get, like, the phonetic kind of, like, say?
The phonetic, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, well, how do you say it? I'm like, Yiannopoulos. And they were like, just keep saying it. I'm like, all righty.
Okay. So good.
So Milo was supposed to speak at UC Berkeley, and he's doing a tour. And he just goes into colleges and kind of gets a little triggery.
Milo's a bomb thrower. I mean, he pokes people in the eye. And then when he's done poking them in the eye, he takes his thumb and gouges it in the other eye.
Oh, yeah.
And when he's done with that, then he kicks him in the nads. That's what Milo does. That's his charm. I'm not criticizing. That's just who he is. Right.
And if he's successful, I say continue doing it.
Okay. And now let me do a quick pause here. This is an area that I slightly disagree with Glenn. Most of the time, Glenn and I are usually in the same level. There's been some things over the years I've called him out on. TARP. First 2 days, Glenn supported TARP and then backed off. And I was like, Glenn, you're wrong for these couple days. And he admitted it. Milo is one of those. Glenn is right in questioning some of Milo's tactics that you're not necessarily helping the situation. You, in many ways, you're not. You're causing trouble. He is part of the alt-right. And I think some things he said is really missing the point. However, I think mockery and satire is also good because it calls out the nutcases and exposes them. And quite frankly, it all gives us a laugh when all we want to do is go and burn the place down. In fact, some of what Milo does keeps me from being the protesters on the street that burn stuff down.
Yeah, Doc on the clock tower.
Exactly. Naked in the clock tower. That's where I'd be if not for some satire. So I understand what Glenn is saying, and he's right. But it's not quite as bad in my world to have some people like that. So having said that, he was supposed to speak. He triggers people, and they were ticked.
Yeah, he was supposed to speak. Well, the anti-fas... which is something new I learned, which is anti-fascist protesters.
Anti-fash?
Fas.
Fas? Shouldn't it be fash? Anti-fash?
You guys have a fail there.
By the way, fascist was way too long. We can't have that.
Yeah, that's way too long, Dad. Come on, just keep it between three
it's
and four
the
letters.
AF.
Yeah. So basically, he goes in, the protesters are just waiting, just like a normal protest. But around about the time that he was supposed to go in and start talking, the protesters turn into what I call rioters. They started launching those Roman candles towards the windows.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of fireworks and like it even looked like road flares or something.
Yes, road flares. They were knocking down the light fixtures to the floor.
Yeah, they took the whole light poles down. I saw that, which, by the way, you're only hurting yourselves. That's public money. You douches. Seriously, it's public money. I don't agree with it, but if you're like, I hate the corporations, let's go burn down one of their, but fine, but that's yours. Apparently, they don't know how taxes.
Wait a minute.
That isn't theirs because they don't pay taxes. Okay, anyways, please continue.
Well, that wasn't, it stopped there. They lit it on fire.
Oh, good.
So,
nice.
And then at the middle, the police had to retreat, mm-hmm. into the building, go to the second floor and start giving warnings. That's when the police say you got 10 minutes to disperse or we'll use force to arrest you. And that's when they started using, I haven't confirmed this from the people that were on the ground, but they say they were rubber bullets, tear gas, and some other things that they could not tell me what it was.
Okay, so you're there, meaning the protesters mm-hmm. that turned rioters, thugs, they're there exercising their First Amendment rights before they started being violent. You know,
yes.
Out there in the streets, you know, peaceful assembly, that type of thing. So at that point, it was there exercising their First Amendment rights to try to stop somebody else's First Amendment rights.
Yes.
Okay, good,
yes,
good. That's that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Well,
so see, that whole First Amendment thing covers multiple things, you people. See, your First Amendment rights to peacefully assemble and protest also includes the First Amendment rights to speak and press and religion and redress of grievances, all of these things, right? Milo was speaking. He was an invited speaker. He didn't crash the place, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like wedding crashers.
No, he didn't. One thing, too, I don't know if you know this, but Milo is a gay conservative. Well, he calls himself
Wait a
gay
minute.
Conservative.
Milo's gay?
Milo Yiapalapanis is gay.
Wow, okay. I mean, none of that matters. It's just shocking. He doesn't come across gay at all.
Are you sure?
May come across really gay.
Did you see that video I showed you where he was building the wall?
He's pretty effeminate. Yeah,
okay.
Very good.
All right. Yeah. So it turns out that he was escorted out, and he actually sent out a video, 5-minute video, and gave exclusive to Chris Tucker. But he was kind of upset, and he was right. You know, the left, once you start giving that freedom of speech or trying to challenge them, they challenge back. But in a weird way, they kind of attack you and destroy their own stuff.
Well, and this is another way it's changed. It used to be people protest and upset and whatever, but now it's we want to stop you with our. That's what our protest is about. We want to completely make you not exist, not here. And there's a bunch of people on the right that believe those things too. I know as part of this protest, they pulled at least one dude out of a car and beat the snot out of him.
Well, before we get to that, they destroyed a Starbucks once again.
Okay, wait a minute. These people are so not informed. When I was out in D.C. covering the riots out there on Inauguration Day, which I posted all the videos on Facebook Live, was huge. They lit the car on fire, and I was right there. They bashed in the windows of a Starbucks. And I'm like, guys, do you know who runs Starbucks? Howard Schultz, who we're going to talk about later in this program as well. So Starbucks folks, you might want to be on notice. Yeah, we're going to talk about it coming up. But Howard Schultz believes, at least in part, like these people who were protesting. Maybe not in the violence or whatever, but he's a leftist, he's a progressive, and he's supported all kinds of progressive stuff. If you look around protesters, he might be on Berkeley campus with you.
He could have been there.
He could have been there protesting.
Or his employees could have been there.
I guarantee at least some of his employees were at some of these protests.
So they did that, and they also mm-hmm. destroyed a Bank of America.
Okay, it seems, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then let's fast forward to the middle of the night, kind of the end of the protest slash riot. They pulled this person out of the car and just beat the snot out of him.
Yeah, how is this you caring and being more caring than me? Because that's what they keep saying, you know, we care more, we're doing this for all the people. Is this just like collateral damage to them? Is that how they view this?
Like, why would you single out that one person?
Right. But I mean, if they're saying that this, well, Doc, you know, in order to make our point and save the world, some people are, you know, the end doesn't justify the means. But even if they want to make that point, did they believe the end justified the means in Iraq, in Afghanistan? Because what did they keep saying to us? You lost all these American mm-hmm. lives, all this American money, and how many Iraqi lives? The end doesn't justify the means. So you're being hypocrites there as well. Yeah. So coming up, I want to talk a little bit more about how it's fashionable not only to protest, but also how it's fashionable to want the presidential powers limited. Because throughout Obama's presidency, I said things like, hey, you got too much power in the White House there. It's supposed to be a balance. And they're like, you're just a racist, Doc. And now they're like, hey, the president shouldn't have this much power just 2 weeks after he was inaugurated. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll get to some of your calls, 888-727-BECK. That's coming up in just a minute. But first, I want to ask you if you've heard about the report about gun sales. They are shooting through the roof, with some gun companies reporting earnings that are 66% over last year. If you're like me and you own guns, yes, I do, do what I do and protect them with a Liberty Safe. And by do what I do, I mean do what Glenn does, because I haven't gotten a Liberty Safe yet. This is Glenn's copy. This is his script here. Glenn definitely has a Liberty Safe. It's not that I don't want a Liberty Safe. I just haven't gotten one yet. It's the smart thing to do. Glenn and his wife own five huge Liberty Safes. They put things in them, most valuable stuff, not just guns. I know Glenn has talked about putting his pictures and stuff like that. My wife just started finally downloading pictures because she made a great point about it. These things are all electronic. What if something happens? We're not going to have them. And so she downloads them on individual hard drives, not just on the cloud or something, or what's the other service that you have with that?
On the cloud?
Not just the cloud, but there's other services you can store them at that I think she has. But what if something happens there? So she does the hard drive, and then she's been printing them out. And that's a great thing. Glenn has stored his stuff like that, family memories in there. Do your homework like Glenn did. You'll find that Liberty Safes make great safes, and right now they're making 500 a day right here in America. Every Liberty Safe comes with a lifetime warranty, and their customer service is number one. Now you can save up to $250 off when you buy a Liberty Safe. Go to libertysafe.com. The promo code is Beck. I don't know why it's a different one from the last people. Why wouldn't you use the same promo code? It's just confusing. But Liberty Safe, it's Beck, B-E-C-K. The discounts are automatic, and matching mail-in rebates is also offered. So for the best safes built on the planet, go to libertysafes.com, type in Beck. That's libertysafes.com and Beck.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, it's Doc Thompson in for Glenn today, talking about things that have become fashionable again. And one of the things that has now become fashionable, just starting 2 weeks ago today, is wanting to limit presidential power. Folks, during the prior administration, Obama administration, I wanted to limit presidential power, keep it in check. And the administration before that, I wanted to limit it. And the one before that, and the one before that, and the one before. Even when I didn't exist in utero, when I was just a gleam, I still wanted to limit presidential powers, and I always will. Without a balance of powers between the branches of government, we don't exist anymore. And unfortunately, the balance of power between the federal government, the states, and the people has been out of whack for decades. But that's the genius of our structure. It's become fashionable now, all of a sudden, for so many people who are like, Barack Obama can do whatever he wants because he's so smart, we'll just give him all the power in the world, to now object to Trump. And you're not being genuine here. You're simply going with what you want to have accomplished. You're not looking at the structure. For example, you have the protests at UC Berkeley 2 nights ago, and Donald Trump tweets out, and I think smartly, he's throwing a bomb here, but I think smartly, he tweets, if UC Berkeley doesn't allow free speech on free speech and practices violence on innocent people with a different point of view, no federal funds? Question mark? You know, maybe we don't give you the federal funds. Well, UC Berkeley gets literally billions of dollars for student aid, medical needs, and research. Billions of dollars. So to hit him in the pocketbook is going to be effective. And he doesn't even actually have to go through it, that he's just putting him on notice. I'm not saying he wouldn't do it, but he's putting him on notice. I'm fine with that. That's within the power structure of the government. He's not saying he's unilaterally going to do this, but he could suggest legislation. He could come down on him. There may be some things that he could limit the funds. Good. He's right. You're telling us we don't want you involved in campus, and campus should be free speech, and we don't want outside cops, all of that stuff we've heard? Well, then take care of it yourself, because my tax dollars, living in Arkansas, working sometimes in Texas, are still going to pay for crap on campuses in places like UC Berkeley. So get your crap together. So maybe we suggest that. Now, by suggesting that, People went nuts. How dare Donald Trump say that? We need to limit presidential power. Really? Now you're concerned about limiting presidential power?
Well, Doc.
Yes, sir. RC Chris.
Doc. Do you want people taking money that is not yours?
No, not at all.
Okay, then what's up? Wait, why are you making?
No, I'm saying I don't want to take him at all, so maybe he uses this power, you know.
Yeah, but you got to understand their perspective, you know. Somebody's taking their money. How are they going to go to school now?
They're not taking their money.
Doc, they have to go to school.
The protesters, they're not. They have a soft life at the campus.
Oh, he's not getting it, Doc.
So Gavin Newsom, who is crazy, the former mayor of San Francisco, current lieutenant governor running for governor, tweeted out in response to Trump's tweet, "As a UC regent, I'm appalled at your willingness to deprive over 38,000 students access to an education because of the actions of a few." Do you realize how much hypocrisy he stuffed into 140 characters or less? Do you realize how much crap he stuffed in there? As a UC regent, what the hell does that matter? You can't be appalled if you're a homemaker in Georgia or you sell sausages on the street in San Francisco. Maybe a bad city to choose for that reference. But regardless, right? You have to be. As a UC regent, as somebody who let me go down my resume, lieutenant governor and running for governor, I... So that's the first failure.
I thought he was going to say UC Berkeley student, alumni.
Regent. He's a regent.
Regent. Yeah,
as somebody who has a cushy job, let me share with you, I'm appalled at your willingness to deprive 38,000 students access. He's not depriving them. They can still pay their own damn way. They can still get money elsewhere.
What?
They can get more money from the state. You're not depriving them of access. You're depriving them of tax dollars. Get your crap together. And then finally, access to an education. Are they really being educated on the campus there? I would call that BS and fake news by itself. And then the coup de grace because of the actions of a few. Because of the actions of a few. Huh. He is somebody who is basically labeled in the past anybody on the right as crazy, racist, whatever. And what is that based on? The actions of a few. The actions of a few? Are you kidding me? Wow, this shows the level of hypocrisy and crazy. But it doesn't stop there. Oh, there's still much more to come when it comes to the hypocrisy and what is now fashionable, specifically around the riots the other night on the campus of UC Berkeley. Also coming up, we're going to be discussing the hashtag hire 10,000 veterans. That's the numbers not spelled out. Hire 10,000 veterans. Click on it on Twitter so you know what we're going to be talking about coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.